Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Cefalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubcefalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org.
So, hey, everybody, I'm Mike Bazzelli. This is Lonnie Jantz. We are reviewing the play The Zero Hour. What we wanted to say that Brian Edward couldn't join us today.
Yeah. We also want to say that The Zero Hour opened this weekend at the Off the Wall Theater
in Carnegie. Yes, that's true, because we were there. So I remember that. I was there for that.
It wasn't so long ago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's get started. First of all, you know what I do want to talk about before we go anywhere is about Off the Wall Theater and sort of their mission and some of the things that are going on down there. You know what? We were talking yet last night before the play started about how, well, you say, you can say.
Well, this season is dedicated to women, women playwrights, women actresses, and not that there aren't men, but
right.
In the place, but it's basically the year of the woman at that theater. And I think it's great because one of the owners, Virginia Grunert.
Oh, who we'll be talking about a lot because
yeah,
she's great.
Is a playwright.
Yes. And who has also been interviewed here on Berg Vivant.
So. Right. And we saw one of her plays.
Oh, yes.
That she had written.
Oh, my God.
Without Ruth.
Without Ruth. I like
with
that.
With Linda Haysen.
Oh, that was good.
That was really good.
That was good.
But the other thing about this theater that I wanted to mention, it isn't just so much about this year and the season. It's that people have a misconception about it if they haven't been there. They think...
Oh, yeah. I kind of want everybody to go to Off the Wall at least once.
You have to see it.
You have to go.
The space is so intimate and so little and so beautiful. It's
beautiful.
All newly done.
Yes.
And I find there's not a bad seat in the house. I've been to several productions there, which is... That's
no,
what's so
I've
nice about an intimate theater.
On stage and behind stage
yes,
at the
you
Off
have.
The Wall Theater.
Yes, you have.
And I love it. So, you know.
And Brian has been on that stage too.
That's true. Brian Edward, who, you know, like I said, could not be here today.
But the other thing, other than the small intimate space, it's in a little community, free parking, right across
free
the street
parking.
And the
that's
lodge.
Don't forget the free parking.
But a lot of people think because it's a small theater in a little small community.
That it's small actors.
And
it
theater.
Is not no. small actors. We'll be talking about some of the great performances we saw last night right now. So.
And it's not like a community theater it's equity actors. I don't know that they've had anyone that isn't equity in the plays I've seen.
In the plays you've seen.
But they're...
In the stand-up you've seen.
Well,
no,
we're not counting that.
I don't think there's an equity for a stand-up comedian.
I don't think so either.
I'll have to research that.
But that's just something really special about that theater.
Oh, I know. I agree. The venue is beautiful. They're always doing avant-garde things.
Yes.
And a lot of the stuff I've seen there has been focused on women. Matter of fact, one of the first performances I saw back when they were in Washington County, also directed by Robin Parrish, who we'll also be talking about in a little bit, was Stop Kiss, which I thought was amazing. It was one of the things that kept me going back to Off the Wall Theater, and it made me go, when they moved, I was like so excited because they moved even closer to me. I was like, oh, hey, it's like, oh, a great theater moved even closer. So, yeah, I could pretty much roll out of bed and get down the hill and get to the Off the Wall. So
It's in that airport corridor is what they call it. So it's
it's
off the Carnegie exit of 79 or the Carnegie exit of the Parkway.
So that's true. It's like 15 minutes from the airport and 15 minutes from downtown Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So no matter which direction, it's easy access.
And then it's like 10 minutes from my house. So if anybody wants to stop over and have a drink before they go, come on over. Or after. We'll talk about the play. I want to talk about Robin Parrish a little bit. She is a very talented director. Robin Parrish directed Zero Hour in a play that was written by Madeline George and performed by our friends Dana Griffith and Erica Cuenca, who were fantastic last night. There was also a young gentleman in the play. It's a minor part, but he did a really good job, I thought.
Mm-hmm, I did too.
Let me just grab his name real quick. John Steffenauer.
There you go.
But he did a good job. Everybody was really good.
Oh, really good. And the two women, I don't know if you realized how many roles they each played, but the two women played a total of 8 characters.
Oh, you... Oh, I counted. She did the math. Former math teacher here, ladies and gentlemen.
And each of the characters was so distinctively different than each of the others, and they changed right on stage.
Oh, there was a moment
There
was a moment when Dana Griffith transitioned from one character to another character. It was seamless.
It was absolutely
seamless. And then I completely bought her as a different person.
I did.
In a few seconds. She like makes a turn and all of a sudden she is someone new. And I was like, oh,
that's fast.
How'd she do that? I could like from one sentence to the next, like da 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 da. And I was like, what? Huh?
Well, we know how talented she is.
Well,
having seen her perform many times.
Very talented.
It was an amazing moment,
right.
But it was also no surprise.
Right.
Because that's Dana. But yeah. I was impressed with her main character that she played, Because knowing Dana and how very pretty and feminine and ladylike, and she was a hardcore butch dyke lesbian. Yeah. I mean, she was.
Aren't dyke and lesbian the same thing?
Maybe, but she was.
Can we say dyke?
I don't know. Well, to me, lesbian is non-judgmental, and dyke
is. Will Brian
saying,
whip our asses for saying dyke?
I don't know, because you just said ass.
Oh, I said, oh my. Well, this thing is just in all kinds of. This is going to be a lot of bleeping going on today. She was a very, very. Yeah, butch, I guess is the word. The character was very hard and tough.
And angry.
And angry, but interesting.
Militant.
Militant, yeah. Oh, yeah, because one of the aspects of the show. Here's the thing. The show was about. We should probably tell everyone what the show was about.
Let's not
the show
keep it
was
a secret.
About. Oh, but keeping it a secret. Interesting choice of words.
Yes.
The show really was about two women and who, played by Dana Griffith, as we just mentioned, plays an out lesbian who has a girlfriend who doesn't even want to admit that she's in a lesbian relationship. Rebecca, played by Erica Cuenca, doesn't even really want to admit she's in a lesbian relationship.
No, she doesn't.
She also, but Rebecca, or Erica Cuenca, is writing a book about the Holocaust for children, for seventh graders. And there's an interesting aspect of the play where we learn a lot about the Holocaust, but we also learn about what they can't and can't say in schools and how they can teach it and how it goes from ridiculous to sublime and back again. As a former school teacher, you were even commenting how all school books are written for Texas.
Yes.
Okay, so the sexuality isn't even... Because here's the thing. In the Holocaust, 6 million Jews were killed. I have a friend, John Pridmore, who is a comedian, and he does a joke about, hey, Jews, great way to bogart the Holocaust. Because we always hear about the 6 million Jews that are killed, but we never hear about the gypsies, the gays and lesbians as much.
And that was brought up last night.
And that was brought up in the play last night.
Because that was a fact.
Yes, a fact that there were other people besides you. I mean, it was a tragedy on an enormous scale, but there were other people also involved. And in the textbook that Rebecca was writing, she couldn't mention the gays and lesbians that were also killed because of Texas.
Yes,
and
you know, possibly Texas.
Kentucky and God knows where
else.
Well,
no, they're actually written, they go through Texas.
They go through Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Even
math books.
Even math books. What are they going to say?
Science. That's why
Heather has two mommies. Is that a math problem? No, I knew a woman that she was fired from in the 90s. She was a public librarian that bought Heather Has Two Mommies, the book, for her local library, and they fired her.
Wow.
I know. In the 90s, yet. And it was a public library. It wasn't a school library. It was a public library.
That's really scary.
Yeah, isn't it?
What state was that?
That was Hampton, Virginia. So Virginia was the state.
Yeah, wow.
And Hampton, not far from Norfolk, a little suburb. Well, like a little city.
That's frightening.
I know. I agree. But matter of fact, what was interesting about this play, and we got way off subject again, and we knew it was going to happen without Brian here, that we were going to go way off. And this doesn't help, sweetie. But I don't think I'll have another sip. But we were talking, what the play really did for us was after the show, we had a fantastic conversation about,
yes.
The play was very thought-provoking, I think. And it garnered a lot of new conversations to have, i.e. about the Holocaust, about school books. And we even talked to Hans Grunert, who is a German, who is one of the co-owners of the theater, and how I was just fascinated about, like, do Germans carry guilt? Because one of the characters that Dana plays is like an SS guard,
right?
Who we're trying to sympathize with. Who actually came across sympathetic in a way.
Well, and it was written in such a way. I remember the one thing that guard said was, "You know, nobody looks at it from our point of view,
right?
From the Nazi point of view, it brought us all together as a people and as friends." And he said, and then after the re-education, we had to forget all that.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It was sort of like they were brainwashed and they had this wonderful camaraderie that we're supposed to understand.
No.
And then they had to forget it all.
Right.
And it was to him that, I guess he thought, you know, just think about how that was for me.
Right. Well, here's the thing, too. We're all told that Nazis are evil. And they were human beings. And some of them went along. I mean, I'm not justifying what they did. They did some horrible, horrible things. But you knew you had to go along or you died, you know?
Right.
You were also killed. And there was also a lot of, like, Jewish-on-Jewish crime that we also forget about, where people turned in their neighbors because they thought if they turned in their neighbors, they would somehow get rescued.
They brought that out last night in the play. That's one of the points they brought out.
Yeah, which is also fascinating. There was a correlation, though, between lesbianism and Nazism that I wasn't getting, I think.
I think it was being true to yourself and your true self.
Regardless of who it harms, maybe.
Right, and what's truth and what isn't.
Yeah,
but
I think if you come out of the closet, I don't think as many people will die.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. I think that was a little bit of a strong analogy. Maybe I'm not getting it enough.
No, I think it was more esoteric than that. It was more just
being true to yourself.
And truth and, this and was what's an, true and what's not true.
What is true.
And points of view. And
right.
You know, I don't think it was
okay,
maybe that direct.
Okay. Oh, good. Because, well, you know, I'm a couple in. So maybe I just didn't. But, yeah, so another thing that was fascinating about the show, first of all, I want to mention the sets.
Oh my God, the set was, really? I really was. I was like, I hope he's going to say the set because we want to talk about that set.
Oh yeah, no, the set was great. Rich Preffer, I want to say. Oh, notes. Hold on. Rich Preffer. Yes. Hey, look, I didn't need the notes. I had
and assisted by
Ricky Costello, who we love. So, great job she did on that.
Yes.
With the, it looks like a subway train. The it and there was like it really looked.
And the bedroom and the therapist bedroom. Office mm-hmm. and the.
Oh, we have to say that there is a lot of adult content in the play.
Oh, by the way, yes.
Yeah, even though we love people to go to the theater, we love everybody that goes to the theater. This is not one for your children.
No.
Even though there is the whole aspect of seventh graders, don't bring a seventh grader.
No, not at all. Because the language
as well as a little rough.
Some of the content.
And the content.
And there's a little bit of a graphic bedroom scene.
Oh my, that was, you know what? I that scene should have dragged every lesbian in Pittsburgh out of Kativo and into Off the Wall. They should have gone there in droves. Because they're two very attractive women.
Oh,
first
yes.
Of all.
Absolutely.
And skinny, though.
Not too.
Well, I Dana, though, is. So,
I thought she looked lovely.
Well, that she did look lovely. No, not too skinny. No, not but, you know, skinny, like skinny in a good way.
Okay. Yes, I agree.
Cheers.
Batteries running out.
Beautiful women in. Their talent is just great. Robin. Is fantastic, the director.
Oh, the director. I was so pleased that we got a chance to speak with her afterwards.
Oh, we did. That was fun.
And she is so talented. She's an actress. She's a director. She is a teacher. She teaches in a school in North Carolina.
Oh, right, in North Carolina, yes.
And she's co-starring in a new movie that's coming out.
Help Me Help You.
Yeah, that's coming out almost ready for release.
Oh, wow.
And I think she's delightful and so talented. And to be a small theater... in Pittsburgh, to draw the kind of talent for directors that they draw.
And she came up special
amazing.
For this. She
yes,
did
she
come
did.
Up special for this, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
So it was great to see her. And like I said, Stop Kiss was amazing. Oh, the wonderful things going down on there at the Off the Wall Theater. And we're so proud to be, you know, to go down and
enjoy it.
And enjoy it and have a fun.
And support a wonderful
theater. And... Yeah. So check it out. 0 Hour, Off the Wall Theater. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right, well, good night.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.